all of you are here today. I was actually afraid that this cold might keep some of you away. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh, praise Yahweh, may the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. The cold, I feared that some would be missing, but it doesn't look like it. It looks like the crowd is growing. Praise Yahweh. I want to show you how Abilene Reporter News is advertising for us weekly. Their website, reporternews.com. Then down here it says, we got everything you need to know up to this date with local news. And here it is right here, House of Yahweh, 7th Moloch, Israel Hawkins. And got my picture there and everything. I didn't know they was that proud of us, you know. I'm glad to see they're that proud of us. See that? Wow. They didn't even realize that, probably. They thought they was doing that for their benefit, you see. Okay, FEMA is telling everyone to get ready. And here's more on it this week also. Encouraging individual to resolve to be ready. Says Washington, with the new year approaching, the Department of Homeland Security, Federal Emergency Management Agency, better known as FEMA, Ready Campaign is reminding Americans to resolve to be ready in 2010. Resolve to be ready is an annual initiative encouraging individual families, businesses, and communities to make preparedness a part of their New Year's resolution. I'd like for the leaders, at least, in the House of Yahweh, to write down some phone numbers here, websites, and so forth, and see what they say. Being ready for emergencies can be an easy New Year's resolution to keep by following the Ready Campaign's 3 simple steps. Get an emergency supply kit, which that won't last long, and if that's all they're telling them, and that seems to be what they're telling them, get an emergency supply kit. It won't, how long will that last? Well, maybe one day. Make a family emergency plan, and I think they're talking here about communicating with one another, you know, your kin folks, having a way to communicate with them. Be informed about the types of emergencies and preparedness response. And it talks about the emergency kit when you get without power, talking about gas and electric. I know I've talked about this before and told you you really need to practice this. If you could just maybe shut your electricity off one day and don't let your food ruin. but shut your electricity off for one day and see what it takes. It takes some changing, but you certainly can do it. And you need more than an emergency kit, that's for sure. We've been telling you about that for 40 years or more. The new gods are coming up daily now. And this article, this strain of new drug-resistant bacteria coming from the hospitals, this new study reports a surge in drug-resistant strains of dangerous type bacteria in U.S. hospitals called, get this name, Acinetobacter. Now, that's the way you pronounce it, but you pronounce it faster, Acinetobacter. But that's the way it's pronounced, A-Sin, S-I-N-E, then dash T-O, then Bacter. And that's exactly what it is. It's a strike of sin against the people. It says it strikes patients in intensive care units, in intensive care units. Now, this is only one place now. That's not all, but that's where it's spreading from. It's starting there, they think, in the intensive care units, and other and often causes severe pneumonia, bloodstream infections, some of which are now resistant to this is a what the doctor told me was a shotgun antibiotic. It has a whole bunch of different pellets in it that goes out different ways, and they give this in hopes that one of them will make contact and kill this booger before before it kills you. But this is this is right. This is the way you pronounce it now. I am Im. The way you pronounce it, if you want to spell it out, is I-AM-E-EM. An antibiotic that is reserved for a last line treatment. And of course, the bacteria, and what they're telling us here in this article is on down here, it talks about it being found in the soil now, in the water now, coming from emergency rooms, but it's found on some people's skin. this makes you want to rub elbows with them, I'm sure, and skin of some people. The bacteria causes a variety of diseases ranging from pneumonia and serious blood or wound infections. The bacteria spread through person-to-person contact with contaminated surfaces or exposure to the environment. It's getting rough out there, and they're beginning to realize this. And sin is what causes it, of course, if they would just take the word of the one who created us. Science Today, another one, this was December 2009 now that this came out. They got a new eye infection. University of Iowa research have found that the existence of a new rare inherited retinal disease. Now the search is on to find the genetic cause, which investigators hope will increase understanding of more common retina diseases. But this is a brand new god just newly come up. If you add to that in the illnesses and injuries incidents, I won't read all of these, but population living with HIV. Now, this is our population now living with the HIV right now. They've got it, spreading it to others, is 34 million, they're saying. 34 million. HIV AIDS infections is 8 million. Cancer is 9 million. Tuberculosis, 7 million. Syphilis, 9 million. Chlamydia, they say, is 42 million. I'm saying it's 6 billion or 7 billion myself. Gonorrhea, 37 million. They thought they had that killed, wiped out, along with syphilis years ago. Childhood diseases. Children born with childhood diseases. This is the one that they have counts of. Is now 75 million children born with it. Hepatitis, 1 million. Malaria, 401 million with malaria. Respiratory infections, 443 million. So you can see here a population living with asthma is 101 million. It's like everyone in the world has a disease, right? Yes. No one without it. I think that's what we've been saying, that the scripture showed for this time period. Cardiovascular disease, 17 million. Cancer, 7 million. Respiratory disease, 3 million. This is deaths now, deaths from this. And it it's going, very soon we're going to get to where the deaths outweigh the births, or those who survive. U.S. crime and punishment, violent crimes on the rise, 1,393,372. Murders, I don't know. I'll wait till I find out before I report the rest of that. I don't have time to spend on it. Let's see. What else? No, I'll wait on that too till next week, Yahweh willing. Now I know that this is a hard subject. What myself and the priest have been bringing. I know it's not an easy thing to understand. I knew this when I started it, but I'm determined to make you understand. Actually, it would be easier for people to understand if they would just take the scriptures instead of getting the hogwash that's put out from the world. The scriptures tells you that Yahweh divided the language. It didn't say that he recreated mankind into different races. He just divided the languages. And you got to believe that, because you're not going to get this from the world. You won't get it from dictionaries or concordances or anything like that, but you can get it from Yahweh. Now, Yahweh said he took one family to deal with, and from there he's teaching the whole world and the universe a lesson from that one family. And if you'll get this in your mind, that this is Yahweh's plan. He's the one that's performing this. It didn't just happen by accident. Yahweh is bringing forth a great lesson here to you. And of course, you sitting here in front of me right now, you know, you have a part to play, not just in this time period, but for all eternity, to take this to the universe and to guide the universe in the laws that you're learning right now. Yes, that's your potential if you'll latch on to it. Praise Yahweh. But Yahweh said, from you, speaking of this family, not his house of Yahweh, but the family, the lineage of Abraham. He said, from you, profaneness has gone out to all the world. Now, where did it come from? Where did it come from? From Asia Minor? From Kakaduka? Where? From some strange race that Yahweh recreated? No, it came from this one family of Abraham. Now, you're part of this family because you're the one that's bringing righteousness. You're the one that's prophesied to bring righteousness. Are we? If you want to be a part of this throughout all eternity, then you can, if you will believe. If you don't believe, you're wasting your time here. You've wasted it already. If you don't believe what the scripture shows, then this right here will be used against you. These are dangerous words. It's a dangerous message that I'm bringing. Yes, very dangerous, because you won't have another chance ever. If you're thinking you're going to have a chance later and somebody's going to feel sorry for you and say, oh, yeah, come on in. We have one Toyota left. There won't be any more Toyotas. This is it for you. So if you sit here not believing or not paying attention to what I'm saying and getting every word that what I'm trying to bring you here, you're going to go out empty-headed and you're going to join gangs out here, or as Yahweh says, councils. Councils. Evil, secret councils. Do you know how evil that is? Read Genesis 49, and you will see how evil these evil councils are, the secret councils that try to turn you from listening to what Yahweh wants you to learn in these last days. Now, surely you can understand that. This right here, Yahweh said, from this family, profaneness has gone out to all the world. Now, you can partake of that profaneness because all it is deception. It's evil. It's someone trying to pull you out of the house of Yahweh or turn you against the priest that Yahweh has sent to train you. It's like cutting your throat to keep your head from thinking. Exactly. In the Sabbath day. Now, Yahweh said, make the Sabbath a delight. And then he said, he showed you how to make the Sabbath a delight. In fact, you're to keep it the way he kept it. You're to rest the way he rested. That rest that he rested was he created the Garden of Eden and he fed man perfect food, created for them perfect food and showed them how wonderful life could be. How very wonderful it could be. Now, they were sent from that wonderful Garden of Eden. This family of Abraham was sent to Egypt to learn what oppression is. If you think about what went on there, you think, now I know your mind has been conjured with a bunch of junk again. Here we have a man with a whip and a chair and a gun, and he's saying, pick up this pile of dirt and move it over there. Now that is the kind of what they think of slavery. And when we think of slavery and we think of it along with this Egyptian 400 years of Egyptian oppression, we think, well, this is what it was. They had forced labor. The way they forced it, let me tell you how they forced it. They put a person on a wage, a minimum wage. And this person had to work for this wage, and then he had to buy all of his stuff. Slavery doesn't consist of that. He had to pay taxes. Slavery doesn't consist of that. Remember, the Egyptians overtaxed them. They increased their taxes. They increased their labor without furnishing them anything to go with it. This was taking more from them. The slaves of the South, they didn't pay taxes. The slaves of the South had everything furnished for them. They didn't have wages, so they didn't pay taxes. The Israelites, when they were in Egypt, paid taxes. They drew salaries. And that salary, they had to buy all their stuff out of it, everything to live on. So it kept them living from hand to mouth. And if they didn't work, if they didn't do their jobs, they didn't get paid. So there was repossessions took place. They came and got their automobiles. No, they didn't have automobiles back then, but they took what they had. They took their homes. They repossessed their homes. What was it, over a million of them I've heard about here lately? If you think about the oppression that Yahweh spoke of here under the God worship, the extractress, the female extractress, speaking of managing the gold and filling her coffers and running the show in order to bring man down. Now that's the world. That's the one that from this family that Yahweh created, the Abraham family, from that, Satan has worked with this family as she did with Cain, and she's the one that's got the plan to bring them down. Well, this Garden of Eden that Yahweh had, it does not create competition. There was nothing competitive about it. You were slaves to one another. You did things for people without pay. There wasn't any taxes paid. There was a tax put on the citizens themselves. That's all they could get. Because they couldn't come out and say, well, I want this carrot out of these 10. So they had a hard time collecting taxes from this, from the Galileans. The Galileans, where your Savior came from and where so many prophets came from, they lived without competition in a quiet community, following the laws of Yahweh, but they learned the laws of Yahweh. They learned them from the prophets. Now that's what Yeshua said, if you don't believe the prophets, you're a fool. If you don't believe everything they've written for you, you're a fool. Because, and he's showing you this so you would know, again, what the prophets keep telling you, that Yahweh is running the show. And he's bringing forth a work, and the only works he brings forth is those he prophesied of by the prophets. That's the only works he needed to bring forth this show that he's putting on for the earth and for the heavens. So you are part of that show, because he's saying, I set you as an example here now, and I call heaven and earth to witness that if you don't do this, if these people don't come to this character, then they will not be given power. So he holds this up to the world, the universe, and anyone can read these laws and know that they're fair, that if they're followed, there is no competition to start wars, because that's exactly where it started. When the tribes, when the 12 tribes wanted kings, they wanted to get out from under this. They wanted to become rich. They wanted to create empires and rule those empires. And this is exactly what they did. But then when a person, let me put it this way first. When these kings started, they also started religions to guide the people. And every religion, each religion that rose up, like we see that Daniel talked about, the 10 religions, the 10 main religions, they had their own following, and it was different from this one over here. Why? It was different from Yahweh's. Why? Because this one thought they were right, and this kept them from going to Yahweh. And they would create things for them to follow, like free will. You can have a free will in this religion. All of that stuff was done away with. You can have free will now. You can have democracy. But each religion was separated. So when a person went over to, like if they went from Yahweh's work, which they did, and they travel throughout to another religion where another religion was being taught. And they started telling them about Yahweh. They would arrest them, put them in jail, and if they insisted on what they were doing, they would stop. They would kill them. Now, the ones that became the strongest in this was the ones that are prophesied to do so in Genesis 49. Let's turn there and read that again so you'll understand what I'm talking about. Genesis 49, and here they are right here, Simon and Levi. Simon and Levi are brothers. Their swords are weapons of violence. Remember the word violence now, because we're going into that next. Let me not enter their council. Remember that word. Let me not enter into their council. Now this of course is a secret. The King James Version here puts secret council. Let my glory not be joined to their assembly. This is their religions, their churches. For in anger they kill. And in pleasure they kill. Cursed be their anger. Cursed. Remember the curses that Yahweh said would come upon you for doing these things? Cursed be their anger, what it's bringing forth, so furious and so and their fury so cruel. I will scatter them in Jacob and disperse them throughout Israel. So he's saying this is going to go out throughout all Israel. And then when the temple was built, if you remember, he says, I'm going to bring all these families now, and they're going to encamp around Jerusalem. Not all together, because each family was trying to take Jerusalem. They wanted to take the possession of that temple, because they actually believed, they'd been brought up by their religions to believe that they were the ones that was led by Yahweh. And the others were done the same thing, but they were different, so they couldn't come together. You see any of that in America today? America, you got the Baptists, the Methodists, and so forth. The religion scattered out. Now, they've got all they need. They no need for them to come and take over what this other church has, you know, because America is rich. And of course, it has... The states are united to a degree, so this keeps them from forming an army of their own. But we didn't have that in Israel at the time. We had secret councils forming, and we saw one prophesied for these last days. And the Hebrew authorities say that is future. That those Hebrew words there is used. That it's future tense. It can't be used the other way. Well, now, here, we go over to let me find my work here. Go back to we covered that Genesis. Yahweh created and showed us how to keep the Sabbath. The Savior did the same thing. Let's go to Matthew 10. Matthew, the 10th verse. I want to try to cover all of this today, this one subject, anyway, on this lesson. So I'm going to rush through and just bring certain things to your remembrance. Surely you remember how Yahweh did his creation. He created heaven and earth, and then he stopped from his work, and then he rested. Well, the way he rested then is shown in verses 8 and 9. He creates a Garden of Eden for man to live in, a paradise for him to live in, as is shown in the great garden of Yahweh that he built for mankind. And then, he also taught them the way of life and the way of death. All took place there in that first two chapters of Genesis that were shown there. First few verses, in fact, of Genesis 1 and 2. But he rested on the Sabbath day. He rested. Now, of course, later on, when this profaneness was going out now, when the profaneness was going out from this tribe, this one tribe of this Israel that was from the family of Abraham, they started polluting the Sabbath, Yahweh said. They polluted the Sabbath. Well, they had to in order to pull people out. Here's this one school of higher learning saying, I can't do this unless we can bring this teaching in. And here's the way we've got to do it in order to separate our people. We're building a tower, the system of Nimrod, if you can think of it that way. So we've got to change this teaching right here and make them think this is right. So they polluted the Sabbath. That was the first thing. Because if you keep the Sabbath correctly as Yahweh keeps them, then Yahweh tells you what to do. He sets you apart for his kingdom. He sanctifies you. So they used this and they polluted the Sabbath by changing it, just butchering it up a little. They still kept the seventh day. That is, they still pretended they're keeping the seventh day. And this went on up until Constantine says there ain't no way to do this, you know. These people, either we break them from this habit, you know, or we're always going to be fighting. So he says, we won't keep the Sabbath, the seventh day anymore. We'll just make it the first day of the week to worship. This is the reason these were changed, because the tribes were led, the different colonies or secret councils. They started in secret councils and they started gathering people like the system of Nimrod. This is what it did, but they rebelled somewhat against the laws. But they all started from the same place. And the Sabbath, the seventh-day Sabbath, was actually kept up until about 360 A.D., after Yahshua's death. All of them kept the Sabbath. There's no history of anyone keeping another day except that up until that time period. So in this, then, the profaneness, more profaneness, went out to all the world. Well, here now in Mark 10, and start with verse 42. Mark 10, verse 42. He says, Yahshua called them to him and said to them, "You know that those who are recognized as rulers, those, now these were the priests. If you remember Shaul, the apostle Shaul, he was a Roman soldier, but who did he get his orders from? He went to the priest, the high priest, in fact. Well, the high priests had direct contact with the Roman soldiers, because the soldiers, the army, if you remember, stood on their part. This is what Daniel showed you. That's what prophesied in Daniel. Here a little and there a little. So Shaul, being a Roman soldier then, he had access and he was up in ranks. He said he went higher than most his age. So he had access to the high priest himself. He didn't take the lower priest. He went direct to the high priest and got his orders to kill. Who was he killing? Anyone who didn't agree with the Pharisees. The Pharisees and the army, the Roman army, were the same. In fact, by that time, Rome had taken, or the Pharisees had taken over almost all of that country. If you ever study those maps of the travels, maybe I'll show that next Sabbath to show you the territories that they had control of. They said Rome, but when you talk about Rome, Rome got its orders from the high priest. And the high priest they got their orders from was the Pharisees, who was the strongest religion, so they had the majority of the people. And they had control of that temple, big time, but they also had control of Rome at that time, too. Now, I know you're not going to get this from any place except the house of Yahweh, because they divide races. And, of course, Rome was different. They don't know how. But it was different. Well, yeah, it was. It was run by the Pharisee. It also had the apostle Shaul in it. If you'll put it all together and keep it like Yahweh tells you, he has a perfect history here for you to understand. But he says, "Know now that these rulers," he said, "you know that those who are recognized as rulers over the Gentiles." Now, if you think of this right here, they use the word Gentile. So this conjures up this thing in your mind that they were non-Jew. But that's not what the scripture shows. That's not even what the authoritative books show. They try to hint that it is, but then they'll finally tell you, if you'll just look close at it, that it's someone of another religion. Well, of course, this is what the Catholics still teach today, that if you're not a Catholic, you are a heathen, and you deserve to die, and they deserve to kill you. They have a license to kill, and they have their crusades, and always have. That this was a crusade that the Apostle Shaul was on. That wasn't new by any means. The same crusade the Catholics kept running years after that. So did the Muslims. But from them, profaneness went out to everyone in the world. So the rulers over the Gentiles, that just means he was talking about people who were not of the faith, not following him, not following Yahshua. And that included almost everybody in the world. They were Gentiles, or as the Hebrew said, goy, which means they were one of another belief. Just another belief. They believed something different from what this religion taught. Now, I know your books are going to tell you, no, this was someone of another nation or something like this. One of them will say language, which is true. Yahweh divided the languages, so that was the division in the people. But what he's talking about here when he says this is they don't believe the scriptures. Well, they had come to the point at this time where they didn't believe the scriptures. In fact, the Talmud was written, and we have evidence now. We don't have to just say the scripture shows it, but we have evidence from other writing now in the encyclopedias that shows that the Talmud was written long before 700 BCE. And they had it all jotted down and everything, but had not put it in a book, but it was already ready for the people. And when they sent people to Babylon who had been arrested in Jerusalem, and they sent them to Babylon, they sent them to priests to be taught in their higher schools of learning. And you know what they told them? Oh, we'll teach you careers here, and you won't be getting in trouble anymore. We'll teach you how to get rich. We're going to pay you minimum wage or above. And this way you can buy three cars instead of one. or whatever you want to do with this money. But if you get behind on your payments, or if we cause a depression or a recession, then we'll come and get it from you, and you can start over again. But these were the schools of higher learning, the same thing that we have today, teaching you a competitive business so you will work for them, making their empires richer. Everybody, every leader in America is involved in this right now. And this is the reason this guy came out from China. He probably wouldn't have been able to have done this in America. But he came out in China teaching how they keep you in bondage. How the schools are set up to actually keep you in bondage to them. You hear that word, bondage? You remember what they took the children of Israel into in Egypt? They took them into bondage. The same thing they have today. They taught them in the schools. They taught them trades, and of course the Egyptians themselves started off, you know, with the Hebrews as training them and using them, and then the Hebrews started outgrowing them, started outnumbering them. They multiplied like crazy. And they started outnumbering the Egyptians. Well, the Egyptians were still in control, but they were all schoolmasters and empire owners and business owners and so forth. And it was harder and harder. And then when Moses comes and said, we got to keep the feast today. Well, Pharaoh got pretty upset. But if you think about what had to take place with Moshe, after actually calling assemblies and teaching the people and making them take off work, yes, this upset Pharaoh. That's what you find in your scriptures now. That's what's shown in scripture. I'm comparing it with the bondage you see today in today's world. It's no different. It wasn't the slavery that we knew in the southern states, where the landowner was like it was in the land of Israel in the 12 tribes, where they took slaves from other beliefs, from people who did not follow the laws of Yahweh. But they told them, and the law was, you've got to let these slaves rest. You've got to let them rest too. You've got to let them keep the feast. And then after so long a time, you know, they had to become part of your family and so forth. Well, this was the law of slavery. It wasn't practiced in the South, but it was somewhat similar because that person was taken care of from the cradle to the grave. It was, you know, it's like they treated them like animals, of course, or that is, they desired. Their love was for them like a slave for an animal, like they would their prize animal. And of course, we see this in book two, where the centurion, if you remember, he said he had a slave that was much prized. He really loved this slave, and he asked, "Will you please heal this slave for me because he's much prized by me?" Well, of course, the ruler or the owner of this slave, if you remember this, hope you remember these things because there are examples. But if you remember this, Yeshua said he said he's the owner, but he's saying, "I don't feel like I'm worthy for you to come near me. So just say the word because I understand your authority from the laws of Yahweh, from the plan of Yahweh. I understand your authority, and I too have people that I say do this and they do it. And I know that you can heal this man just by merely saying, giving the word. And of course, the microorganisms will go to work to heal this person." Now, that's actually what took place with this slave. And Yeshua said, "I have not seen so great understanding." He said faith, but the word there is understanding. "I've not seen so great understanding in all of Israel as I see in this man." And he says, go tell the man that his request is filled, that his slave will be healed. Well, that is what you see in Yahweh's doing. And of course, you don't see this in what took place in the South. You saw the same thing that you're seeing today, but it was worse, much worse than it was in the land of Egypt. Much worse. In the land of Egypt, they paid salaries just like they do today in America. Everyone had a salary. And if they didn't do their work, of course, they didn't get their salary. And when they got too old and couldn't do their work, they went on pensions and so forth, a very meager pension, until they died. All of this is shown in the Egyptian law that started, of course, it was part of the Nimrod system. But, of course, this came from the Hamitic people who spread out from the family. Of course, they were all descendants. But they spread out from Noah and congregated in different locations of the land, and they became known as Egypt. That didn't change them as a race. Now they came from the same person or same family, Noah. Well, he says, now know that the ones who exercise, that is, who are recognized as rulers here, over those who don't believe, that those that are not of us, not of the house of Yahweh. The house of Yahweh existed. It existed in Galilee. The house of Yahweh never stopped existing until a certain amount of years after the Savior's death, after book two was written and so forth. Then it was wiped out and disappeared. But those that don't believe exercise rulership over them, and those who are greater still exercise authority over them. What do you see in America today? The same thing. You see, from the president down. And of course, you see it in the cities. The ones who are recognized as rulers, they exercise rulership. It's not a voluntary thing like Yahweh asked for in his people. And Yeshua was saying, you can't be like this at all and make it into the kingdom. You can't be of the world and make it into the kingdom, is what he's saying. Praise Yahweh. To exercise authority over them. But this must not be among you. That is the reason these people were called goy, is probably the word he used there. It might have been translated to the Greek word later, but it's still the same thing. But this must not be so among you. For whoever will be greatest among you will be your minister or servant. And whoever of you will be the first will be a slave. Will be a slave. Not a forced slavery, but a volunteer. Someone who wants to keep the Sabbath the way Yahweh kept the Sabbath. That's the slaves he's looking for. Praise Yahweh. And that's what Yahshua was. That's what he is teaching. You know, when the people found out that Yahshua was not a warmonger, you know, they would have accepted him. In fact, Satan would have placed him over all the kingdoms, knowing his position that he held. She was willing to place him over everything under her control, of course. And he turned it down. Praise Yahweh. And he did exactly what Yahweh did. He became a slave to the people. And so much so, he even gave his life for you, brethren, being your slave. And he said, one day, which will be very soon, he says, I'm going to invite you in. And I'm going to serve you. Now that's what he says, Yahshua, that is our high priest. Praise Yahweh. There's no fighting goes on when it's run according to Yahweh's laws. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Well, now that is your Savior. That is the one that leads the house of Yahweh. Everyone else is considered as Gentiles or heathen at this time. Now, the priests knew this, but the priests, when they started the different churches or different religions, they taught the same thing. They said, if you're not of us, you're a heathen. And this is where all the mix-up comes in. But they did this in order to get the people to stay with them, not leave them and go back to the house of Yahweh. Let's look at Matthew 12 now. Matthew 12. Now, surely that all of that is plain to everyone. And let's look at verse 1. Matthew 12 and verse 1. At that time, Yahshua went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples were hungry and began to pull ears of grain and to eat them. This was nothing. This was nothing at all. It was something to those who had changed the Sabbath and who had made it a burden or polluted the Sabbath, as the prophet said. But it was not breaking the Sabbath. These disciples were guiltless. There was nothing wrong with what they were doing. Well, they went further than a Sabbath day's journey. Find that one in the 613 laws. In the written, inspired laws of Yahweh. But where do you find it? Well, in the Babylonian Talmud, where they took the people. This is how Rome got the Pharisees got such a start. Well, first off, they created these schools of higher learning, and this was going on long before Yahshua. They'd already taken control of the temple by the time Yahshua was born. They had it long before that. In fact, in the days of Solomon, they started taking the temple at that time, taking control in the very time that he, right after he got through building the temple. It wasn't long till they started taking their places in it. Strong, violent men, of course, taking over that temple. And of course, Yahweh didn't stay there, of course, but he had already told them he wasn't going to dwell there. And this is why they killed Stephen. He said, Stephen was talking about this very thing when they stoned him. and said, Yahweh told you he didn't dwell in houses made with hand. But you stiff-necked and rebellious Pharisees, you went ahead and built it anyway. So you could take it over. And that's what they did. Yahweh said, the prophet said. And the Savior, he keeps referring you back to this. And this, I won't have time to cover that today. And boy, I had just all of this time and I haven't even got up to that. But the Savior said, the prophets told you all of this. The prophets told you all of this if you would just believe it before it ever took place. Praise Yahweh. But when the Pharisees now saw this, they said, he says, begin to pick the grain here in their hands on the Sabbath day. But when the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, behold, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath day. That it was lawful. It was absolutely lawful. Well, why then was someone scolded for gathering sticks on the Sabbath? Now, if this is as deep as you're going to get in the learning of Yahweh's laws, you know, you're going to get hung up right here. But the people who were gathering sticks on the Sabbath, these were people that went out and did it as a living. And they were doing their work too. They waited till the Sabbath to do it, or they were people that did this and got paid for it. They had people hired to carry their water, to gather their sticks, to cook their food. They even had people to start the fire and cook their food. What Yahweh tells you to do, and you're going to have to see the difference here, is prepare for the Sabbath. You should have gathered those sticks beforehand. And if you're going to use them the next day for your own use, before you go take your place at the house of Yahweh, because that's what you're supposed to do on the Sabbath, is take your place at the house. And the place appointed to you, or the job appointed to you, he says, do it with all your might. But you got to be a volunteer. You can't be forced labor. Now, on the gathering of sticks. Now, here are people that are paid to do this, and they were still running their businesses. Or, if it was someone who was going to use these sticks for themselves, they should have done it on the first 6 days of the week, instead of waiting till the Sabbath to do it. Someone said, ask me, can I light a fire? It's really cold in my house. Well, of course, this is another separation of people, because one rabbi says, no, you can't light a fire. The other said, no, that has nothing to do with lighting fires. It actually, the written word here means don't start an argument. Don't bring peace on my Sabbath day. Make it a habit of bringing peace on my Sabbath day, and you'll learn to bring peace throughout the week. Don't kindle fire means don't start an argument, if you want to look up the word. Don't start something that will cause people to get upset. Don't start it throughout the rest of the week either. Unless you have to correct someone for gathering sticks on Yahweh's Sabbath. But no, Yahweh loves mercy. He, as Yahshua said here, no, they weren't breaking any law. And he said, have you never read? Well, let's go on here. But when the Pharisees saw, they said to him, behold, your disciples are doing things not lawful to do on the Sabbath. But he said to them, what? What in the world are you talking about? Have you never read? He said. Can you see what he said? How wound up he was? What, are you crazy or something? Have you never read the scriptures? That's what I feel like yelling sometimes. No, you need to read all the scriptures. You can't take something back here and say, this is a law. This is a law. and put your own interpretation on it. It can't be. And you've got to take the inspired writings, and then you've got to follow what the prophets showed you later, here a little and there a little, and the chief cornerstone who straightens it all out and lives the example for you. How much plainer could it be that Yahweh has the plan and he's carried it out? You see how simple? First off, the law, yes, everyone has the law and it's very plain. But when you start adding to it, you start adding to it and you put an interpretation on it in order to separate people and get them on your side. And this is the way to do it. You start a rumor, and then you spread this rumor. Well, someone likes to listen to it. Gossip. You know how easy it is. Oh, what'd you say again? You know, to hear this gossip coming forth. And then this is, well, this way you can find out who's on your side or not, who is foolish enough to believe it. And you can start an assembly in this manner. And many assemblies have been started in this manner. They creep into the houses of Yahweh and lead astray, one of the apostles said. Foolish women laden with sins. But it's always laden with sins. Those who want to sin will do this. Those who want to humble themselves, as Yahshua said, has a totally different attitude. They have an attitude of being a slave. That's the attitude of Yahshua. Well, here now, he says, but verse 3, but he said to them, have you not read that David and those who were with him did when they were hungry? How he and those with him went into the house of Yahweh and ate the showbread, which was not lawful for them to eat, but only for the priest. Or have you not read in the law? In the law itself now, it gives you this, how that on the Sabbath day, the priests in their temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless. That is, when this word here now, the priest that was doing this is not an evil thing that they're saying here, but it's different as stated by the law. That's the reason that you have to have the law, then you have to have the writings of the prophets, then you have to have the example of the Savior in some cases, in many cases, in fact. Yahshua lived a perfect life. He taught his disciples the law and what the law means. He did not twist it in any way, but he showed mercy in every case in the law. Remember when the woman was drugged to Yahshua, and they said she was caught in the very act, and they said she's guilty of death? Well, he turned this around and he said, no, you are the ones that's guilty of death. You're the ones that turn people from keeping Yahweh's laws. He said, you have the laws, but you don't keep them. So the fault here is not with the student, it's with the teacher. Praise Yahweh. Well, verse 6 now. But I say to you, in this place is one greater than the temple. Speaking of himself, but his disciples too. And if you had known what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, which is part of the law itself, you would not have condemned the guiltless. They broke no law at all. David didn't break a law, neither did the priest on the Sabbath day, because part of the law is being a service to the people, making sure they have everything they need, everything. You know, praise Yahweh, when people come here and they need help, you know, well, you know, I always tell our leaders, you know, make sure they're warm and fed. Don't let anyone go hungry and don't let them get cold. But this is part of the law. It's a law of mercy to everyone. Even your animals have to be taken care of. And this is what he brought back too. He said, which one of you wouldn't take care of your animal? Well, that was part of the law, to be merciful to livestock and make sure that they have what they need the same as you. You have to be a slave to your livestock also. That's just what Solomon wrote. So the son of man is also the teacher, or he's the true teacher of the Sabbath day. Teaching, of course, that we're to keep the Sabbath day as he kept the Sabbath day. Well, this word, Gentile here, it's used Gentile. They put down here now, they put down race. And this screws everybody up. It puts a false accusation in your mind that this person is different. He's bred differently than you, which is, you know, there's no such thing. Yahweh never recreated anyone. And he's the one that created mankind, and we all came from that. But they also admit that it means of the same habit. Now, what he meant by what they refer to here is that if you're of this religion, if you're of the Pharisaic religion, then you're not a goy. you're not a Gentile, a heathen, a lunatic, and all of that they call you. If you're of their religion, and this is what they're referring to. They're referring to the way the words have used. Yeah, they also mean tribe, a tribe. It means a tribe, yes. It can be a whole tribe of people with a single belief or following after, say, democracy. That makes them of that tribe. The Greek ethnos denotes, firstly, a multitude or company. So is what the word means. A multitude or company, a multitude of people of the same nature or genes, nation of people. It is used in the singular of the Jews, but it's used also of non-Jews. In the plural of nations, and it's also of individuals. But it doesn't mean somebody that is bred differently or would be classified as somebody different from Adam and Eve. Well, we got that far. Anyway, in today's lesson. We got a long ways to go, but we're going to get there. Praise Yahweh. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the service back to the next speaker. I love you, brothers and sisters.